And Brother John Hasty will open with prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we wish to come into Thy presence thanking Thee for all the many blessings we've received at this convention. We would pray a blessing on all the brethren who have made this convention possible. And we would pray Thy blessings on this session be with Brother Randy Gorlick as he serves us. And we pray that we might be able to comprehend the things that's brought forth, and they might be a benefit to us. Forgive us all when we come short of Thy grace, and we pray always for Thy kingdom to soon fully be established in the earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the constant joys of convention is that love keeps flowing in. And even here at the very last session, we have still one more greeting of Christian love from the Ecclesia in Winnipeg, Manitoba. They sent their love and greetings to the convention as well. And Brother John, in his prayer, asked that we seek the Lord's blessing that we can comprehend the message that is given. The Lord said that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways and higher than our ways. And that would certainly indicate we need His help in comprehending the subject that Brother Randy is going to talk on. His subject is nothing less than the divine character. The divine character, Brother Randy.
Thank you, Brother Carl. Dear brethren, it's once more a pleasure. It is a pleasure and a privilege, an unspeakable privilege to be with you at this convention after having come through and experienced all the meat in due season, and also meat for our soul that we have had a chance to have these past few days. I know that it will be hard for me to leave, and with tears we came with tears in our eyes here, and we're going to leave with tears in our eyes as we go. And we look around here and think of the ecclesias represented here, places we have been, and many of you we've met and fellowshipped with, and how you've helped us out in fellowship, and we have had a privilege to be with you and share things with you. This is truly what it is all about, to be one of the Lord's. Today, as Brother Carl said, and as we have really looked at in preparation for today, I could really say that I should start off really with a little bit of a testimony and say that Sister Winnie regrets not being with you right now. She had to go back to work today in Canada. It was it's a work day, and it just so happens I'm still substitute teaching, and I'm not really needed every day with the school division, so I was able to stay here, and I appreciate that opportunity because I got to take in the other talks and not just have them on tape. So I appreciate the opportunity of being here because I sense something in all of us, in all the brethren. I sense something very profound, and that is that each one of us has a very strong expectation of the culmination of all things, culmination of the work of the church. I've sensed that especially strongly for the past year and a half to 2 years. It's been very strong in me, and by way of testimony, Sister Winnie and the girls and I have been so blessed in the Detroit area. We bring you a great load of love from all of those there whom you know, in all the different gatherings that there are. We have been helped, and we have been welcomed, and we have been warmed in the love that they've shown us, and we appreciate that very much. We are also very happy to report, I know that some of the brethren have brought it to our attention, that the Lord doesn't always look. I think it was Brother David Duran who brought to our attention that the Lord is not particularly interested in our flesh. But Sister Winnie and I, just the same, are very happy to inform you that we both have full-time jobs. That has been, we felt your prayers in that respect. And it does give us, on the level of the flesh, it gives us a certain feeling of stability, and that the Lord has looked after our needs, something that we need, and something that can be a test in some instances. We know of brethren who have been out of work, and I'm sure you know of them, been out of work for years, literally for years, and for 6 and 8 months at a stretch and so on. We've been fortunate. And the Lord's looked after us, and I look out there and I see some smiles on your face, and I'm very happy that you're happy for us. Very, very much. And one other thing, it was, yes, this particular talk about God's character is a search. Because as we said, if we are feeling, each one of us is feeling that we are very close to the time when the Lord may take us, may ask us to be with Him, then we better know something of Him before we arrive. There better have been not just a study for a year or 6 months or whatever it might be, but we better culminate, each one of us, and I say we better, I mean it mostly for myself, because each one of you is so ripe and so full of the Spirit, full of the admonition of the Lord. You know His character. You know the Heavenly Father's character. And as we know, if we know His character, He who has seen our Lord Jesus has seen the Father. So we thought what we'd do is, I hope it doesn't take, I hope in a way it does take a little bit longer. I was doing notes on every one of the discourses as I was sitting on Saturday, Sunday, and right through to today to Brother Larry's topic, on the character of our Lord. I was trying to pick out of every discourse, what is the Heavenly Father like? What are the traits of character that we have been hearing all these 3 days? And I have about 5 or 6 pages of notes on them. I hope we'll get through those. I hope it'll be a reminder to you and serve as a recap of the convention. And at the same time, as I say, be a reminder to us of the Heavenly Father's character, of what in everything that the brethren have said, what is our Heavenly Father like? And then if time permits, and we still have some time left over, we intend to take a look down through the stream of time back to the patriarchal age. And if we have a time, we'll discuss a few of the patriarchs. And we'll discuss our Heavenly Father as He viewed the patriarchs. We'll try to discover what it was in those who pleased Him. What was it that He looked for and searched for and found in their hearts? Because, brethren, there is no doubt in my mind that what pleased the Lord at this end of the age is the same thing that is pleasing the Lord at this end of this age. There are some common things that are common to both those age. If we take a look at Brother Larry's discourse, the first one that he gave, we found out that the Heavenly Father is a great analyst. He is an analyst. He analyzes us. His nature is not one that He just accepts everything as it comes along. Our Heavenly Father is one who analyzes, and He analyzes how we bear our trials. He is a great maker of distinctions, and He has every right to do so. For just as Eliezer represented our Heavenly Father in choosing a bride for Isaac, we know that he was a very discerning man indeed. And so was our Heavenly Father, a very discerning being. Brother Larry asked in that particular discourse, do you think it was easy for our Heavenly Father to see the death of His Son? To say that our Heavenly Father is all compassion would mean you wouldn't get close to understanding it. He is pure compassion. And each one of us should think and reflect deeply on the amount of feelings, the depth of feelings of our Heavenly Father as He allowed His Son to be, just as Abraham did Isaac, to sacrifice His Son. From the two salvations which Brother Larry brought out, the two salvations, speaking of the Abrahamic promise, we understand that our Heavenly Father is one who never breaks a promise. In our everyday life, brethren, as I was preparing some thoughts for the divine character and wanting to to make a study of our Heavenly Father, I was saying, and I had some discussion with a sister during this convention about that. She said, you know, I often think that how we reflect upon our Heavenly Father is very much the way we may have reflected upon our own Father, our own earthly Father. And we both connected on that particular point. We both connected quite strongly on it, and we said, what a relationship did we have with our own fathers? We found our fathers, our own earthly fathers were loving and kind and gentle. Then it should be a very, very easy thing for us to simply attach to our Heavenly Father those same character traits and to want to serve Him in, of course, in every way, even more than our earthly father. But just think of it. If we have had a good relationship with our father and with our mother, for that matter, as we were growing up, we should strive to look for those things that we had that were strong with them and build upon them in our Heavenly Father. Build upon them and use them. We think also that in the blessings that were given out, our Heavenly Father is what we call fastidious in the way He deals with things. He's all wise and all knowing and all just. Because what did He do? He not only blessed Isaac, but He blessed Ishmael. And what we have to understand is that our Heavenly Father is one who may delay His blessing. This is one thing we have to understand. He may delay that blessing, but that blessing, as it was given to Isaac and to his seed, it will also be given to Ishmael and to all his seed too. That's one thing that always grips me and consumes me about the Heavenly Father and of his great love. Brother Larry told us that God's throne is based upon justice. Yes, and in so many places in the plan, particularly the offsetting price of our Lord for Adam and for all his posterity, we know that something had to be satisfied. And our Lord, our Heavenly Father is one who does not leave a principle unattended to. And again, Brother Larry told us that God gives the benefit of the doubt to all mankind. Just think of that. It often comes up in our studies and in discourses that our Heavenly Father has put up with for 6,000 years or more now, with all of the blasphemy, all of the contrariness of every one of His creatures who hurt Him, who insulted Him, and yet He gives them, so to speak, the benefit of the doubt, and will eventually bless them. I think Brother Larry also brought out, if not indirectly, I was reading into it, that the Father, if we are to copy any character in the story of the prodigal son, we are to copy the character of the father, the one who killed the fatted calf. How that struck me to the heart. That moved me. And every time I have a chance to share that with anyone, because I know I have a hard time to forgive. I have a hard time to forgive. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult at times to forgive. And when you read the story of the that moves us, of the father who ran out to meet the one who had done so much wrong, and then he killed the fatted calf. The second part of that is the nourishment, the reinstatement, the reestablishment, the strengthening of those who may have overstepped. That was brought out so well by Brother Larry in his second talk, too. How much, brethren, we need to tap into that character. And by contrast, also, what was brought up is it was the despicable, the very wanting kind of mistake that was made by the other son. The one who had everything and was blessed, and he said, I have never let you down, Father, in anything. But he failed that particular test of not being able to share in the forgiveness, the same type of forgiveness, that forgiving spirit of the Father. And Brother Larry, on a practical scale too, to change the thing for a moment, said that everything has to be on time for God. God is a great timekeeper. And I better move on to the next speaker to find out what he said about the character of God. Can't spend too much long, but in the small things too, our Heavenly Father is extremely, extremely fastidious and careful. Brother Schepelbaum shared some thoughts with us. He said that the Lord gives blessings during His presence for the express purpose of teaching. The Lord, a Heavenly Father, is the one who is the penultimate teacher. And I like the way he brought out that our Lord, when in His presence in this particular area, our Lord in His presence used a method that is very, very effective. He used a general scattering of knowledge and enlightenment to attract attention to Him. What He really was doing was attracting attention to Him. No one on the earth at that time, or very few, could miss what was happening. That something stupendous was happening. What He hoped it was doing, and what we know in our hearts, and we know what we know it does for us, is that these momentous times that we live in attract us to our Heavenly Father. They make us ask the question and force us to ask the question, what is happening? Our Heavenly Father is a great dramatist. Part of His character is that He has an incredibly developed sense of drama. He also used knowledge to create the discontent with Satan's dominion. And that was particularly important to me. Sometimes in witnessing to others, witnessing about present events, you tend to say, well, if such things are going on and the Lord is testing out humanity and breaking this down, breaking that down, sometimes our witness can be, if not complete, it can be jarring. It can seem to disturb. But not so. We realize that there is a purpose to the way the Lord has allowed this knowledge to go out. Why? He wants, as Brother brought out, Brother Schepelbaum, to create a discontent with Satan's dominion. And on the other hand, as we said, to draw attention to Himself and to glorify Himself. What an amazing creature He is indeed. And Brother Schepelbaum brought out that our Heavenly Father is very pleased to know others who are just as perceptive as He is. If He is ultimately perceptive, He's very, very pleased to note in that characteristic in others. And Brother Albert said, we should adopt that aerial view. Reminded us of the aerial view of us being as saints upon a sea of glass, looking down with perfect confidence that the Heavenly Father has things in exactly the way He wants them. Brother Albert also said that God does expect us in doctrinal matters and in moral matters to receive correction and to receive correction as humble children. I can't help but think about hundreds and hundreds of times in our own family, maybe not hundreds, but or in families the world over, where that little drama of the quick mistake made by the child and the quick correction by the adult, that is taking place. And it is so beautiful to see how it takes place quickly. It is done with love. It is done with promptness. The matter is disposed of. And it is a blessing. And it is a praise to the unity of that family. And likewise, our Heavenly Father wants us to adopt that, be ye as little children. Unless you be as little children and accept and receive correction as humble children, knowing our place. He also mentioned something that I had thought of and had in a larger set of notes that we brought here, that God is a sharing individual. God shares even minute details of what and why, is taking place. He shares the details, and I had the thought is that In my readings for this particular preparation, we found out that the Heavenly Father probably gave a lot more details to the patriarchs of old about the details of the plan, including, of course, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. There was the promise of looking forward to the ransom. And we do believe that as we study the patriarchs, Noah, Shem, especially Shem, I am struck time and time again by the way our Heavenly Father not only keeps His wisdom to Himself, but He is willing to share it with those whom He finds of a kindred spirit. What a wonderful thing. The condescending nature of our Heavenly Father. If you were to take it as a character trait, you would say it is that He condescends. He comes down to our level. Brethren, you probably feel it deeper than I do. Through more study, through more experiences, the humbling experiences of life, closer walk with the Almighty, we feel His presence in this room today. We feel His presence with us as we are on our knees. We feel His presence with us as we go through different trials and difficulties. And we know that there are those with different levels of appreciation of how much He has come down to our level. I was reading a book about, it's by Stephen Hawking, it's about physics in space. Sometimes I can understand that. Sometimes I'm actually able to break through with limited capacity and be able to understand and look at the things that this physicist was writing about. And it was amazing to see how our Heavenly Father has created particles that travel at 186,000 miles per second. And this creature, this glorious creature, who can flit about at will and is, as it were, a creature indescribable in human terms of what He can do. And He comes to this planet. And we see it so often as we go through a store where we see a poster of that blue and brown ball, this earth as it hangs in space. And we say, our Lord condescended from coming close to and designing that object that some of the brethren described out in space. Designed an object that is something like 8 trillion times as powerful as our sun, and He comes to be and to share His nature, to share His plan with us. I thought that was brought out. Brother Albert never used those terms, but the condescending nature of our Heavenly Father. And we know that in accordance with our theme here, as we discuss these things, and as Brother Albert brought those out in that brief time, I made a note and I said how important it is that we understand that we have a proper fear, a reverence, a deep reverence for our Heavenly Father, and how important it is for us as partakers in present truth to know that we no longer have that slavish type of fear, but we have filial fear. We are sons. Go on, skip on a bit to what Brother Duran shared with us. I think the most central point that Brother Duran brought out for me, and that will roll over and over in my mind for months and years to come, if the Lord allows that time, is that why? We ask the question, why did our Lord base everything upon free will? Why did He base it upon free will? So much more efficient, or we would think so in our mind, to simply have ourselves as a great God, so to speak, and to have anyone else in relation to us subservient to us, simply obedient with a one-way line from them, one-way line of communication from them to us, or only from us to them. Instead, what the Lord has allowed is us to have free will in the way that we interact with Him. And one of the reason for that, we heard it from Brother David. Because free will determines true desire. And that, above all things, is what the Heavenly Father is interested in. If we talked about the condescension just a moment ago, why does the Heavenly Father condescend to the level of the human. We know it's because he's searching out you. He's searching out me. And when he finds us, he searches us even deeper. And he goes into the heart and into the mind, and especially into the heart. Brother David reminded us that our Heavenly Father knows that textbook knowledge is not enough. We have to have experiential knowledge. And that seems to be the type, the best type of relationship. You know, I was thinking in a study a few weeks ago, Brother Russell in the sixth volume was describing what the best relationship is between parents and their sons and daughters. And it wasn't just obedience that Brother Russell advocated. If you recall the passages in Volume 6 under Parental Obligations, it said that the Lord, or the true parent, the best parent, is one who is a confidant and an advisor. A confidant and an advisor with his children. And so I think that point came through. Brother David said that God is not so proud, or that he only comes down to the kings of the earth. Rather, we are cheered, brethren, because God's character is such that he has chosen the mean things of this earth to confound the wise, as the scriptures tell us. And I couldn't help but think, but Brother David also brought out the point that our Heavenly Father doesn't always hold our flesh as the most important thing, our fleshly considerations. He loves instead the poor that are rich, but rich in what we know as a very valuable commodity. They are rich in faith. I like the points that he brought out. We could ask ourselves about our Heavenly Father's character. How does our Heavenly Father view humility? Humility, as Brother David brought out, was not necessarily just sitting in a corner. But it was, as you recall, he brought it down to the level of one word, willingness. A willingness to simply serve, even in all our weaknesses, in all our imperfections, when we stand before the Lord, what he wants most of all is our willingness to do what he tells us to do. And a desire to be participators in whatever project that is. And he also told us about some things. We can often reduce our walk to a very mechanical, a very structured thing. But I think if I recall what Brother David was saying, is that it is also important at times, if you have four or five choices in a particular project or in a particular trial or in a particular experience that you're going through, that the Lord is not necessarily going to punish us if we choose choice number four, which may be a little bit more to our liking than what he wants. Our Heavenly Father is most involved in seeing that we learn. And then if we make a wrong choice, he can correct us. And in fact, I don't, as a father, sometimes you're working with this, that, and the other thing, and the children were beside you. I remember when Joel and Joanna were smaller, and you often had the feeling, well, hey, I'd like to feel like I'm the father here. I'd like to play the father role. And if they make a little error, well, I'll just take great pride and I'll be able to say, I can show you how to correct that. Because that's my role. I'm the father. And that thought came to me as that was being expressed. And it was a very powerful one. Because it said that we have an intimate relationship with our Father. Not just a mechanical one. We should cultivate that and continue to. Brother David said that God is one who rejoices in inner peace and who wishes to see us rejoice in inner peace. He wishes to be close to those who see his word, the Bible, as the only foundation for fellowship with him. He wants us to rejoice in redemption from guilt. We often hear the expression to lay a guilt trip on someone. And, you know, I'm raising teenagers right now, or rather, they're teaching me. And when I think of it, the Heavenly Father is, just like we discussed a little bit earlier, He is one who doesn't rejoice in our constant guilt. We think He lavishes in the notion that we accept that we have been redeemed from that guilt. He lavishes in that. He loves it. What a great God. Heavenly Father will also be wants us to become sympathetic leaders, and so that's another reason why if we take some choices that may not be exactly right and the Lord has to correct us, our Heavenly Father is interested that we learn the lessons from that. And that's the most important thing. Mentioned, perhaps these weren't His words, but I thought that there was something beautiful in the way the Heavenly Father is interested that we overcome challenges to our peace. We know that peace is very important, but He's very interested we overcome challenges to our peace by blooming where we are planted and not necessarily always wanting to change the situation. You don't always have to change the situation. You can change your heart attitude towards the problem. And I think there's another thing that we can take home with us. If we're in the midst of a storm, there is that great saying, I can't quote it all, but that saying which says, sometimes in solving a problem, the Heavenly Father will calm the storm, but then sometimes He calms His Son. As that's the other way in which He deals with the problem. And one of the other points that was mentioned was that in thinking about the ecclesia arrangement, as it was going through it, and the Brother Durand was talking about what is the ecclesia? What is the function of the ecclesia? And I think the central point that he made was that our Heavenly Father has called us out of other situations and other gatherings, churches, for one purpose. He has called out ones who are yearning for His viewpoint on the matter. Yearning for those. There must be that yearning in each one of us. That is the reason why we are here and not anywhere else, in any other gathering, wherever, in Chicago or wherever it might be. He is interested that we have that yearning for truth. He is truth, and therefore, we want to be just like Him. And so there won't be any intimacy. There won't be a very high degree of intimacy between us and our Heavenly Father unless He sees that we are seeking Him with a whole heart. So we get a more and more beautiful picture with everything that's being stated here. Every time something is stated, we get a more beautiful and more complete picture of what our Heavenly Father is like. Brother Ray Luke mentioned and quoted Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. You may want to look through it right now. But the gist of it was that, if I can permit me, Brother Ray, is to, that God loves those who praise Him, is what you said. And I can't help but think that we praise Him by bringing forth fruit. And our Heavenly Father is just as happy with those who bring forth 30-fold, some who bring forth 60-fold, and some 100-fold, each according to the ability. And so the Heavenly Father is really not a discerner of persons and a distinguisher in a very unfair sense. He knows what we are able to bring forward, what we can produce. And if we produce according to our abilities, then He loves us and accepts us. Brother Ray said that our Heavenly Father has a character that is prone to creation. And He invites us to take part in His tutorship. We have the unspeakable privilege of being those who could also be creators, who also could be participators in works with Him of the future. And he promises us that he would be our tutor, one-on-one. How does that make you feel, all of us that have come through a public school system where you've probably spoken with your teacher maybe 5 to 6 minutes per day, if you're lucky? Heavenly Father is willing to work on us one-on-one, 7 days a week, 365 1/4 days per year. How could we fail to take the time to tap into service like that? I like the point also that Brother brought out, that the Heavenly Father values those who see beyond the valley of tears and know by God's own character that there must be something infinitely better beyond this trouble that is on the earth. There's got to be something better. Those who have, it, so to speak, an instinctive understanding that that is their, the Heavenly Father loves them supremely. He also mentioned that he values those who number their days and those who value life above all things. And I think close to home, the troubles, and we think over to Israel, the nation of Israel right now. He mentioned that the Heavenly Father values those who recognize a greatness. When great things are happening and when the Heavenly Father's hand is actually shown in the earth, in the events of the earth, he values those whom the Scripture says who will not cease to pray nor let our Heavenly Father sleep. Imagine the intimate relationship through prayer that he values. Those who will, so to speak, be as the prophets of old, who said they would not stop praying day and night until the Heavenly Father would bring the peace of Jerusalem. And we think over to Jerusalem and its problems. They've just come through a rather touchy situation in the past few months, and they have been spared. But we think of the situation there, and the Heavenly Father is... what it does show is the Heavenly Father is interested in those who have that intensity and who love him with a whole heart. And it reminds us of the Scripture, which we're all so familiar with. What is the greatest of the commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Brother Ray's thoughts were especially good because it made me think of that interest, of that definition of faith, which is very important. We have some hot weather out here, and we also know we have drought in the prairies of the United States and Canada, perhaps mostly in the United States, I think. It makes me think of a story which we're all familiar with about the church congregation who decided that since things were so bad and there was so much drought, that they had better pray for rain because it's the only thing that's going to perhaps save the crop or give any hope for next year's crop. And so they prayed, and they all came, and they had their almost a day-long service. And the one during the meeting whom the pastor commended the most as he walked through the congregation, the one whom he commended the most was the little child who came to that meeting carrying an umbrella. And that always sits with me, and it's a very powerful thing because it does show that there may be in our midst, there are those who serve, there are those who have prominent or more prominent positions, but the Heavenly Father may be noting in that person over there and that brother, that sister over there, who is not always noticed. He may have noticed that they are the ones who are carrying the umbrella. They have that most unspeakable, valuable thing, faith, true faith. And then there was a brother, right after that, we appreciate Brother Luke's thoughts, but then there was a brother by the name of Brother Randy who came with some thunder from Revelations, the 12th chapter and verse 17. And he also was talking about Europe and some very momentous events that were taking place in Europe. And after all the thunder, really what he was trying to say, brethren, is that we are living, the Heavenly Father, his character is such that he is giving us some very strong signals. He is one who does not leave us who are out in the battlefield. He does not leave us. He is in constant communication with us. How? Through prophecy. He lets us know exactly where we're at, and because we have faith in the chronologies, we know within a few years or within a few months perhaps where we are in the stream of time and the things that are going on about us. And so that brother would simply have reminded us that Heavenly Father is such a being that he will keep us in constant reminder. And if we be late in the period of the development of the church, if we are late in that period, then the Heavenly Father is giving us signals of just how late we are. And I think if one more thing were to be said by Brother Randy about that subject, he would say, brethren, if there is anything that may come against us, if there is anything that may come to harm us, to harm this flesh, or worse still, something that may harm us spiritually, that may draw us away from present truth and from the harvest message, then if we face that, if we are facing it, if some of us have a deeper faith in the harvest message than others, we should draw together. We should not be as such who pull apart, or only pull apart, or who only divide. But from my heart of hearts, I believe it is the Heavenly Father's will that each one of us consider to draw together, because we have a common enemy. We have an enemy, and that enemy may show itself in the next short while. If that should happen, then the sheep know that when there is danger at nigh, danger beside them, they instinctively look for shelter. And so, if we are his sheep, we also will huddle together. We will come closer together and not drift apart. That's my particular wish on that point. And I think it should be said, notwithstanding that it is also very important to make a clear stand for present harvest truth in every one of its details. We have time perhaps to consider, if possible, Brother Wes Kramer and his invitation to a wedding. I guess we won't go right through all the different brethren, but we think of a wedding that has taken place in this area, a very blessed one that took place not too long ago. And we think of Brother Wes, who said, who wants to get married? And I was taken by, and we were all moved by that fine handling of it. Brother Wes said, who wants to be married and be the bride of the Lamb? And that really was what it was all about, and how well that was handled. He reminded us of the needs of this virgin class at this time to seek wisdom in the Scriptures. And it made me think of a brother who said, you know, if we were to think about what our mission is at this end of the age, he put it down to some 8 words. He said, our mission is, if not us, who? If not now, when? When will the work of the full gathering of the church take place? If not us, who is it? If not now, when? And I think in closing we will just include one more point that Brother Wes brought out, and that is that the Father is, as we said earlier, supremely willing to share the Holy Spirit. So, brethren, as we have gone through a number of things, we certainly didn't get through them all, but as each and every one of you think of the admonitions that we received, let's think of the promise that the Heavenly Father is willing to share his Holy Spirit with us, that he is, to those who show and seek him, show that they are seeking him with a whole heart, they are attempting to draw close to him, He will give them the Holy Spirit in large measure. So may we tap into that. And brethren, as we close and as we will go on to our several homes and perhaps enjoy some fellowship even after, our wish is for every one of you that the Lord's blessing would go with you, that the Lord would be gracious unto you and give you peace. And I can't think of a time in history and in the history of the church when we need to be at peace and to seek out the foundation for that peace. And it's based upon knowledge. It's based upon a desire to be close to the Heavenly Father and use what we have around us, which is still in plentiful supply, and that is the comfort, the encouragement, and the criticism that we get from one another. And so in examining these things, we hope that we have drawn your attention. Our whole plan was simply to draw your attention to the character of our Heavenly Father. And much more so should we be doing this as we see the day draw on and draw close to the end. So, brethren, our prayers are with you, and I'm sure that each one of us wishes each other Godspeed, and we do, again, wish you great blessings from the Heavenly Father. May the Lord add His blessing.
Every convention can be divided into three sections. You have weeks, sometimes months of anticipation, and then you have a short period of realization, and then you have the after effects of His application. Brother Randy has well started us on the thought of convention review. The time did not permit him to go through all of the lessons that were given from the platform, but we appreciate especially the fact that in giving these lessons, Brother Randy is calling our attention to the fact that the function of the lessons that have been learned is not to stimulate us intellectually, but to give us an insight into the divine character and how we can apply it. And now, brethren, the real challenge of the convention is on our hands, to try to become a little bit more like that image of divine character that we saw through the discourses, through our fellowship as we saw how the Lord is leading and directing each one, through the testimonies as brethren open their hearts. And I think if you were like I was, we shed some tears as we realize the experiences, the deep experiences that the Lord has brought some of our brethren through and has brought them through. Now the privilege comes to rejoice with those that rejoice. And for those who are just going into the deep waters, to mourn with those who mourn. The privilege of meeting our brethren from Romania a little better, getting to know how the Lord is working in that far land, and how they are looking upon us to see how the Lord is working in this land. This also is stimulating as we can appreciate the oneness of the divine family. I hope, brethren, we can all say it's been good to have been here. I hope as the days go on, we can find some lessons, maybe one or two, maybe many, that will be helpful to each of us in our consecrated walk. If we can do that, if we can apply it that way, then this convention will have been a successful convention. If we go away merely having looked in a mirror and turned around and said, "Oh, that was nice," this convention will have been nothing more than a pleasant reprieve. Let's try to make the convention one of those profitable ones by finding those lessons that we can apply within our lives. The brethren of the Chicago Ecclesia thank all of you for coming. We should have said this much earlier, so many have gone already. But for those who remain, without the ones who have come, we realize that this could not have been the gathering that it was. We'll look forward to the next time we can meet again at Jesus' feet. Before we close, we do want to give one last reminder. To grant thy blessing ere we part, take us in thy care and keeping, guard from evil every heart. Let thy Spirit, Lord, go with us. Be our comfort and our stay. Grateful praise to thee we render for the joy that we feel today. May thy Spirit dwell within us. May our souls thy temples be. May we tread the path to glory, led and guided still by thee. Bless the words which have been spoken. Hear our prayer in cheerful strain. Give us, Lord, a constant token that thou dost with us remain.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we come before thee once more at the close of this convention to thank thee for everything we have received while sitting at thy feet and learning from thy servants, for the timeliness of the things that we need spiritually and doctrinally and also in admonitions. Dear Father, we are grateful for the discourses that have gone before and for the food that we have, that now we can leave, as it were, nourished from this oasis of truth. We pray not only for ourselves here in thy blessing and safe departure and warm fellowship for those who will remain for a while, but that we might carry this warmth with us everywhere we go, that we might bring it to our families in the everyday workings of it, that we might bring it to the ecclesia and be, as it were, those who would spread oil, that there might be a lubrication by that Holy Spirit in everything that we touch and with everyone we meet. Help us to witness to this great truth that we have been privileged to take in for these 3 days. Make this, Father, and allow it that it be in our hearts and in our minds something precious, something special, a time, an Ebenezer of thy love towards us. We ask forgiveness for our shortcomings and pray thy overruling if anything has been said or done amiss. And we remember not only ourselves here, but the children, thy children, our brethren the world over, in Romania, throughout Europe, Japan, and wherever they are throughout the earth, those who are holding high this banner, as was said, this banner of truth, and who have full faith that it is the truth. Help us, Father, that we might have more of thy Holy Spirit, that we might be able to draw closer to thee and please thee. Help us to sit at thy feet and learn, and help us to be, by thy Spirit, someone who would help others. We ask and pray these things in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen.